You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Boston Celtics. You know, there's another guy right there you just saw that Dame could rehab with.
Yeah.
In terms of the Achilles, they're good friends. If you think about it, 2 years from now, what is that team with Dame at point guard? They're a championship caliber team again.
That's Chris Haynes on the Celtics. And according to the Boston Globe, their mutual interest.
How about that?
In Damian Lillard. I just don't like what the whole thing represents. I don't even like how Haynes answered it. It's like, well, Lillard and Tatum can rehab, their buddies.
Yeah.
Then you come back in 2027, that's a title contending team. I'm like, it's already a title contending team, I think, with Tatum and Brown.
Do you think they want to pay him money to rehab for a whole year? They didn't want to pay Holiday and Porzingis money to play. So I don't know if they want to do that.
So I don't like the whole thing about looking more to 2027 and like punting on the year than trying to take advantage of a wide-open Eastern Conference. So I already don't like that. Never mind. To me, the shine has come off Lillard a little bit. I really liked him in Portland. I really wanted him when he got flipped to the Bucks. I really thought it was going to work with him and Giannis. Wrong. Like, yeah. It's gone bad with him. He's in his 30s. He's coming off an Achilles injury. I'm confident Tatum's going to come back and come back at a high level. Maybe he's not an MVP candidate. Maybe he's not first-team All-NBA. But he's going to come back and be an all-NBA caliber, all-star caliber player. What's Lillard going to look like on the other side of this injury? And on top of that, he's not playing and helping at all this year. Instead of using your mid-level or whatever you're going to use the money on with Lillard, you're going to pay him to sit out instead of adding a big that could actually help the team, maybe Al Horford? No, I don't like any of it or what any of it represents.
Because I love Damian Lillard. I love the idea of Lillard. And now, obviously, that has soured seeing him play with Giannis the last couple of years. And maybe some of that's on Giannis. Maybe that's some of it on the whole Milwaukee situation. Doc Rivers, like, add whatever you want to it. But the guy can score. You know the guy can, he's clutch, right? For all the talk about, like, late in the game. Like, there's not many guys scarier than Damian Lillard late in the game. But that's also younger, pre-Achilles, pre-blood clots.
Yeah.
Like, that's scary stuff with Lillard. So if it was as simple as, hey, Lillard's available and he can play this year, like, would you want him on the team? Yeah, I would. But I don't know when he's coming back.
See,
I don't know when he's going to be ready.
If he was back this year,
I would do it.
Same. And you could get him on short money, I would get that. You're like, all right, we need somebody to replace Tatum's production.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit around twiddling my thumbs waiting for him a year from now and message or signal to everybody, guys, this year doesn't matter. We're not going for it. Like, that might be what they do,
so,
but I hate it.
Do you think that it's being reported as mutual interest because, one, for Lillard, I mean, you're a player in your mid-30s with an Achilles injury. Mm-hmm. You just got bought out, basically, by the Bucks that traded away their world champion winning point guard for you, right? Like, they thought they could upgrade and got you, and they just got rid of you.
Yep.
So you want as many people thinking that there are teams interested in you as possible. And then if you're Boston, don't you also kind of want that out there? Because you're like, hey, see, like, we are looking to, like, improve the team. Like, guys, don't worry. Like, we're not just dumping players. We're also still interested in big-name players, too.
Give the fan base something. So, like, a name they've heard of, a name that, like, for our purposes is worth discussing break it. Yeah, so maybe, yeah.
I wonder if it's kind of mutually beneficial, but it's not really going to happen. Because
remember last year, 2 years ago in 2023 when he got dealt to the Bucks, Chris Haynes in an interview with Dan Patrick scoffed at the idea of Damian Lillard coming to Boston.
Well, he didn't want to go to Milwaukee either. He was kind of forced to go to Milwaukee, which I forget. What's the dude's name? Is it Harrison? What's the guy's name with Portland? The GM with Portland?
Oh, I don't know.
Guy's the man. And I love Lillard, but just the way the players have, like, overtaken the league, and it's like every GM does everything the player wants. Lillard was like, I'm going to Miami. And he's like, oh, you are? Milwaukee.
Remember? I forgot about
that. He's like the only GM ever to, like, stand up to a player in, like, decades. He's like, oh yeah, you want to go to Miami? That's cool.
Yeah. Joe Cronin?
Might have been Cronin. Yeah, that's cool. We're going to send you to Milwaukee, which is, like, I don't know, probably worse than Portland for Lillard anyway.
Yeah.
Like a Bay Area guy. Like, I don't think he really wanted to go there. But and those 2 years were pretty underwhelming. You're thinking Lillard, Giannis, maybe the greatest NBA Jam duo in the history of NBA Jam.
It's a nice combo.
And didn't really work out. No. Like, they both put up their numbers. They were both all-stars both years and all that stuff, but just weren't really a threat in the Eastern Conference.
You made a good point, too. Imagine Lillard here. Like, he might be the first player in NBA history to only shoot threes. Like no two-point field goals. Just settle for three-pointers 5 feet beyond the arc. So, I get it. You know, you could have him and, I didn't even think about this till right now, Simons, who were both in Portland for a time together, right? They overlap, for sure.
I think they did, yeah.
And, yeah, he's just completely leaning in on the Missoula ball, if you will. The report, by the way, from Gary Washburn in the Globe, he says, when Lillard was seeking a trade from the Trailblazers 2 years ago, he wasn't interested in a trade to Boston. Now, Lillard has some interest in the Celtics, in part because of the close friendship he's built with star forward Jason Tatum. I would just say, well, you weren't friends 2 years ago? You guys didn't know, you'd been on Team USA before. You guys didn't know each other. Like,
yeah,
wasn't that friendship in place? So when you say, is this a real report or is this just both people, both parties kind of need each other, the Celtics to show they're still linked to big names as opposed to not even being able to sign Luke Kornet?
Yeah.
And Lillard needing some interest out there to get other teams interested, that may speak to it because the logic doesn't make sense.
He
wasn't interested 2 years ago, and now he is interested because he's buddies with Tatum. He's been buddies with Tatum the whole time.
But it also doesn't make a lot of sense in the sense that the Celtics are already going to be paying one player $50-something million just to rehab. They're trying to get under the apron, so they're going to bring in another player to not play likely for the whole season?
It's odd.
And it's just too much money kind of tied up in that. So, yeah, I don't know what he's going to do because, you know, Kevin Durant, when he famously teamed up with Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn, he signed a max or the most he could sign and missed a whole year. But then you were banking on it. He was a little bit younger than what Lillard is now. And then they were going to sort of hit the ground running that next year. But that was part of the deal. That's how you had to get him. I don't really know what Lillard ends up doing now.
I mean, would you be surprised if he's just cooked? Like that injury ended his career?
No, I would not be surprised if he's cooked. I would be surprised, though, if somebody didn't sign him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
You know, like, somebody's going to pay him to rehab and then hope that he's going to be really good. But then, yeah, he might not be that guy.
I'm trying to remember. We went through all the Achilles injuries when Tatum injured himself. And or got hurt, rather.
So, like, Dominic Wilkins was, like, a great example.
Yeah, weren't specifically the guards really bad when they came back?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who they were.
Klay Thompson was one of them. John Wall was one of them.
Wall's career was basically done.
But he had, like, 1,000 injuries. It wasn't, like, solely Achilles.
But Lillard isn't just solely Achilles, your point.
No, it's not. And he's had, like, a good long career. Like, that might be it for Lillard.
So
I wouldn't rule that out.
I don't like it. I don't like how he was playing in Milwaukee. I don't like that he's off for a year. I don't like that he plays no defense. I don't like that he has to come back from an Achilles injury, which is a hard injury to come back from in your 20s, never mind as a small guard in your 30s. Mego said this last week. We've seen the small guard experience just blow up a couple of times with Isaiah and Kemba Walker.
Yeah, and you can't you can't really play him and Pritchard at the same time.
No.
Right? That'd be kind of tough.
And so I'd rather, you're talking about short money. I'm not talking about a lot of money.
No.
But what would I rather do? Throw some money at a big or throw some money at Lillard to sit out the year?
So I guess, well, this also comes down to like what player it is. So if you're like, hey, they got Al Horford back, they can't get Lillard. I'm like, all right, well, it's better for the team and like, good, fine. Like, he's healthy, let's go. But if it's another player that's sort of similar to George Niang or like Luka Garza or a guy like that, and be like, we could have had Lillard, but like, we got this guy. Like, I don't want that guy. Like, well, I don't want like a 10th big.
No, I'd want to aim a little higher than that, but yeah. I'd rather have somebody help the team this year than worry about signing somebody like Lillard for 2 years down the line.
No, I know.
Like, I'll address next year's team when we get the next. Let's stick with this year for right now. And like, even, I don't think Lillard's such a deal you have to snap him up now.
No, that's true.
Because you can't find that level of production a year from now. That's Brad Stevens' job. You don't need to line up next year's team today. You don't need to do that. Meaning 2027.
And not to play doctor, but it goes back to, like, if it was just an ACL injury and he was out for the year, you'd be maybe a little bit more prone to, all right, well, he's going to bounce back. Like, the Achilles is a little bit more of a wild card. Like you said, we went through all the names before, and it was kind of 50-50. And Durant being like the best example, and hopefully Tatum is more like Durant than any of the other guys. But with somebody as old as Lillard is, and you know, the last couple of years, he's still been a good player, but it hasn't translated to a lot of wins, right? No. You thought he left Portland, like, oh, look out, Milwaukee's going to be loaded. And they didn't win a playoff series with Lillard.
No,
you know,
I like a moron picked them a year ago, and I forgot Doc was their coach. That blew up in my face. Who'd they lose to in round one? Indy?
Yeah, Indy. Indy. That was the Pacers, right?
Yeah. So,
yeah, Lillard averaged 32 a game in that series.
I mean, that's nice.
31.3.
That's something.
Yeah.
I mean,
a loss.
I don't hate that. Nope. But again, he's not going to be the same guy after this injury. Tatum's not going to be the same guy after this injury.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Never mind Lillard. On the wrong side of 30 as a small guard who relies on speed? No. 617-779-7937. A reminder, you can stream WEEI anytime on the Odyssey app as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. A lot of ways you can listen to Jones and Keefe on WEEI. You think the door is still open with Horford?
I mean, he hasn't signed anywhere else, so based simply off of that, you'd have to say that it is still open. My guess and my bet would be he still goes to a team that is more likely to contend and does not return here.
If you're him, what would you do? Golden State? L.A.?
I mean, I personally wouldn't go to L.A., but yeah, I think, probably L.A.
I mean, the answer is probably who gives me the most money out of those two. But I don't know. Horford's track record has been he's jumped out pretty quick. He signed with the Celtics on day one of free agency, way back when he first left Atlanta.
Yep.
He signed, I believe, day one when he went to Philly. It was much quicker than this, for sure. So when the money's been there and he's made up his mind to go, I mean, he's done it pretty quick in the past. The fact he hasn't signed makes me wonder if he's waiting for the Celtics to flip Simons or flip Hauser or flip Niang or some combination thereof, or he's just waiting for who knows what. But the door feels open for a return to Boston to me.
The story, I agree with that. The story did say, before free agency began, that dozens of teams or something insane. It was some crazy number.
A robust market is what he was going to have.
Like a robust market. So maybe it's possible that another team is doing the same thing you just said, where they're like, hey, Al, we want you. We're willing to sign you, but we need to clean up our books a little bit more. We need to make two more trades. You just saw a 7-team trade yesterday. You saw another 3-team trade today. So maybe teams, just because of how stupidly complicated the salary cap is, teams have to make a few more moves first, then they'll have the money available just to sign Horford. But yeah, it's kind of quiet, maybe too quiet around Al Horford.
Would you trade Simons to make room for Horford?
No.
Me neither.
I wouldn't. I want Simons on this team for 1 year. I know a lot of people are trying to trade him. The second they got him, there was all these stories about, well, they could flip him and free up money. Free up money for what? You need somebody to score for you. I think he'll be a good fit. Like, he's not, you know, the best defensive player or anything, but losing Tatum and then even, you know, Holiday, Porzingis, and maybe Horford, that's a lot of points that are coming off the board. So even if Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and Peyton Pritchard, let's say all three of them have career years, you still need somebody else to fill it up. And Simons can. I mean, I know he's been on bad teams, but he's been a pretty consistent scorer for the last 3 years. I'd like to see what he looks like on this team.
Yeah, I'd rather have Simons than Horford. I'm with you. Yeah. But Hauser's money for Horford? Go ahead.
I'd rather have Horford than Hauser.
Trade Hauser somewhere and then give that money to Horford. Or flip Niang somewhere or some combination thereof, fine.
But Hauser and Niang or Horford? Probably Horford.
Horford.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's closer, but I would rather Horford. And it depends on how much money he's holding out for, and maybe he's just playing Golden State and the Lakers against each other.
At least
maybe he's really considering retirement. That's been out there, too. I like to think the door's open for a return to Boston because they obviously need him. He hasn't signed anywhere yet, and I think that would make some sense.
And you know you're going to get, 60 games out of him? Like, you're not going to get a full season out of him, obviously. But at least it's a real starting big man in the NBA. Like right now you're going to have, this is like an old Andy Hart thing. Like you're going to have guys that start, but they're not real starters. So like Nemus Kata or Xavier Tillman might start for you because you need to put five on the floor, but they're not NBA starting big men. And at least Horford is that, right? Like I know, some of your best lineups last year, he wasn't, but that's because your team was a title contender and he was, your team was so deep. But now this year you'd be happy to have him.
Yeah. The whole Bill Chisholm experience has been, I think a lot of our worst fears are realized. And I think the Tatum injury lets some fans talk themselves into it. Yeah. Like, I get what Chris Haynes is saying. Wait for Tatum. Sign Lillard. You're a title contender in 2 years. Okay, let's do it. But I don't like the whole way it started. I thought they got a pretty good return for Jrue Holiday. I just said, I want Simons on this team. So that I was actually impressed with. The Porzingis return was non-existent. They still haven't. Are either of those deals official? I know though. Did you say this on or off the air? The Simmons tweet about
Bill Simmons about Simons, about how they haven't like introduced him yet. But
the trade's not official. Is the Porzingis trade official? Like, I don't think any of it's official, right?
I think like the Durant one finally went through.
That
right?
just went through where they mixed in like a bunch of teams out of the woodwork, 7-team trade.
I was like, yeah, I got a second round pick you can have.
So I haven't liked the whole start to the Bill Chisholm era.
Yep.
And this is what we were concerned about when he first came in. He's gonna come in. He just doesn't want his money back. The other investors that he had to bring in to raise enough money to buy the team in the first place, they're going to want return on their investment. They're not going to want to dole out a bunch of money in taxes for a team that has no shot at a title. And I think they have no shot at a title. They have a chance to be a good team in the Eastern Conference and make the postseason and win a round or two. I think those are in their range of outcomes, but they have no real shot at a title. They're not going to knock off the OKCs of the world without Tatum. Even I acknowledge that. So they're not going to pay that tax. And I just think the whole start to this era kind of stinks. Golden State has no problem being in tax territory. The Lakers have no problem being in tax territory, especially now with this new owner from the Dodgers. They're probably going to spend money hand over fist. I watch a team like OKC. I want to see what they do. Will they stay in tax territory? Will they dip into the second apron to keep their core together? And the Celtics aren't going to do it. And that's an annoying start, and it's some of our worst fears playing out right in front of us when Irv came out of nowhere and decided to sell the team.
Yeah, that's why part of me is afraid that the Lillard thing is just for that, to be like, see, like, that's a huge name player. That's like one of the great players of the last decade. And obviously, like, just a regular fan is going to hear that name and be like, oh, there's a lot of money involved in that. So, like, if you want Damian Lillard, like, they must not just be laying down. Like, it's not just getting under the apron. That's not like they're still going to be really competitive. And then you, like, look into it a little bit more, and you're like, well, he's not going to be ready for this year, and he probably wouldn't even cost that as much money. And like, and is that even true? Like, is he just trying to get his market up, and they're trying to be players in all of this? So, yeah, based on what they've done so far, before the season even began, they dumped Porzingis for a straight-up salary dump. Because you and I agreed, and we were on the air when it happened, right, the Anthony Simons deal. You're like, right. Like I talked myself into that even as a basketball trade. I know everyone's like, oh, these are all just salary dumps.
Yeah, I think they got a half step worse. Like their Holiday's better, at least on a title contender. And so like from that standpoint, he was a winner and like a big game player.
Yeah,
I don't know if Simons is that, but Simons is way better than I thought they'd get for Holiday.
So,
way better.
And I was looking at it, and not even as a knock on Holiday, but like, look what he was 2 years ago.
Yep.
Look what he was this year. What do you think he's going to be next year and the year after that? Like, I think you're getting diminishing returns.
Yeah.
So you're at least trading for a guy in his prime. He's not the all-around player that Holiday is, but maybe the next couple of years he's a little bit closer. Like, we just for giggles, we looked at the Ringer's top 100 players. They update every once in a while. Like, Holiday and Simons aren't that far apart.
No, they're not.
Whereas, like, Porzingis and Niang are very far apart. That was all about money. Like, that one's like, I don't know, you can kind of talk yourself into that. But then the very next move they made was just a money dump. And then the guys that they're bringing back, or the few free agents that they're signing, are like, okay, this is really all about money right now.
Luka Garza, I kind of like.
I'm not telling you, bet the farm on that guy.
Yeah, no.
But I like a little lottery ticket on
Luka
Garza.
Luka Garza.
I do.
All right.
And Brad, we trust, as it were.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Big problem apparently for driving right into the puddle, Barbie, on Storrow Drive this morning and on the expressway and on in Randolph, of all places, if you have yet to go outside because of the torrential downpour. Those roads are like it's flash flood situation on those roads.
Crazy.
So avoid them if you can. I don't know.
Unless you got a duck boat.
This week is like a blow-off week for people, so I don't even know if people... The week after the 4th, I think it's the number one vacation week, and nobody does anything at work anyway. So.
Okay, Greg, I have a real-life scenario that I need you to weigh in on.
Yes.
Because I am more on your side of the street when it comes to remote work. So I think if you work in an office setting and your boss tells you to come back in 4 days a week, that should be fine. One of my friends just took a job. And she found out after she accepted the job that she has to be in office every single day.
Yeah.
And she's really mad.
Because she thought
she would, from the jump, at least get one day working from home. And she asked me, do you think it's ridiculous? Am I being ridiculous for being really annoyed about this? And I said, kinda,
yes,
yeah.
Good. You should. How does she not know? What kind of job was it?
Like it's a government job.
Oh, it's a government job.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think it's reasonable to expect that people might come into the office every once in a while in this in these economic times,
right.
in this economy.
But their mindsets are so effed up that the like everybody nowadays, they think asking them to come in 5 days a week is wrong. Like you should be the max you should ask me to come in is 3 days a week because they're so their mind is so opposite the other way now where if you go to work more than 3 days a week, it's like basically where we used to be thinking like, oh, you ask me to work on a Saturday and a Sunday. It's crazy how they think. Crazy.
Yeah, I would tell her that it's reasonable that they are asking that. I think that's what I
said. I said you already took the job. Sorry, yeah, bud. You got to be in the office.
Courtney is off for a week and a half, and Curtis is off next week as well. But Mego was here. And we during They Said It, we heard from Derek White, who is delighted to still be here as a Boston Celtic. And I, as our Celtics insider at this radio station, wanted to ask you about whether this you believe Brad Stevens is done. Is this when you look at this roster now, is that how they are headed into next season from what you are hearing?
My personal opinion is that they're not done. And mostly it's financial. Like if you look at it's clear one of the goals of this offseason was to be under the second apron of the CBA. And they're a little bit over the second apron because of what they got back in trades and what they did in free agency. So even if you're like being, I don't know, very cynical and saying, well, the goal of the Celtics was to offload these salaries and have a down year in terms of getting under, maybe even getting under the luxury tax and not be a tax repeater, they still haven't done that. So like they could still move somebody like Anthony Simons. He's on a $27.7 million contract that is an expiring contract, so it's easy to move. Like even if they wanted to add more to their front court, get another big because they don't have anybody on the roster right now who's a traditional starting big, they could flip Simons, open up some of that space, and then maybe bring back a smaller piece financially who would be a starting big. So I don't think it's going to be anything that's like giant fireworks in terms of a core player like Jalen or Derek moving. But I also think that it's just pretty obvious that they have to make some other moves before you get to the beginning of the season.
You're in favor of doing the Dame Lillard deal?
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. To me, it is the most obvious thing. I don't understand an argument against it. It's basically like found money. I mean, this guy is maybe going to cost you $5.6 million if you do the mid-level tax exemption. That's nothing. And he won't play this year.
Nope.
He'll come back the following year, hopefully be somebody who's kind of like a luxury piece for you, very cheap. He can be a volume scorer off the bench. You have Peyton Pritchard as your starting point guard, and then you bring Dame Lillard in off the bench. Like, it's just, it's such an unusual circumstance for you to be in with a player of that caliber. Yeah, he's getting older. Yeah, he's coming off of a dramatic injury. But the risk is so low. It doesn't even count against your tax.
And just the player that you look at that he could be, and not he's going to be the Dame Lillard that we all know, but he'll still have some of that late game Dame Dollar where, and we were talking about this yesterday, where the league has become, you know, try to get to the paint and then dish to open guys to spot up in the corner. And one of the callers said, well, what about Russell Westbrook? I would say, give me Dame Lillard because when you got Tatum driving or Jaylen driving, he kicks out to Dame Lillard in the corner for one of them open threes. I would much rather have that guy who I know can knock shots down like that. And I'm with you on this one, Mego. It is a no-brainer that you add a guy for that cheap and low risk, high reward, could be a guy that in, you know, a playoff game or two or a couple goes out there and scores 27, 28 points.
Who can you get from a big perspective if you're throwing Simons out there?
So, I mean, at this point, most of the free agents who would be a big impact player are gone or signed. So it would have to be a trade that you'd execute. And even then, if you look at what Cornett and what Al Horford are, and what Al Horford's probably going to get with his next team, like, because those guys are in that $10 million a year range, you have to imagine, Brad Stevens told us the other day that they made offers to both of those guys. They're looking much lower than that in terms of what they're paying. So I mean, I've always been a little intrigued by Mo Wagner from the Orlando Magic. He's somebody who has been a free agent because they didn't pick up his option for his final year. But even that is just like very, very rich for this offseason.
What about the guy from Chicago? His name is Vucevic. Is that how you say?
Oh, yeah.
His name has kind of been thrown out a lot. But does he make a ton of money though?
I don't have his contract in front of me. I'm not sure. But is it possible that they run out Nemias Keita and Luka Garza, their new acquisition, as their starters, and you get like Xavier Tillman as a bench piece? It's hard to imagine that they're completely finished there, but I think whoever they add in that big spot is not going to be somebody like, I don't know, like a Jonathan Kuminga level, like huge name that you would know.
And where do they end up with Jaylen Brown as your alpha and as currently composed? What do they end up? Are they a playoff team? Are they what seed do they end up being at?
I say that they're either a six seed or in the play-in. I think that that's kind of where they're at, realistically. Mm. It'll be interesting to see. Wiggy and I were talking about this during the break a couple breaks ago. It'll be interesting to see if they keep Simons. That would indicate to me that they are so heavily leaning towards being an offensive powerhouse team.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're basically going to say, our strength is in offense. We're continuing with the Missoula ball. We're going to try to score as much as we can and kind of play defense through our offense. If they move on from Anfernee Simons and they bring back somebody else, I think that that may look a little different. But I think, I don't know, I think a six seed feels like the most accurate, but at the same time, I don't think that the Eastern Conference has gotten better
right.
in the wake of the finals.
Yeah, and the Nikola Vucevic, he's like $21 million, so it's like flipping Simons. It's basically the same amount of money.
I don't think they'd go for that.
But you're right, when you start to look at this team, but I'm cool because my expectations are not high. Like, as a Celtics fan, I'm not looking at this year for them to go in and compete for a championship. Like, my expectations are not high. So if you're a five seed, a six seed, you're in the playoff round. Like, all right, that's what I expected. My thing is, all right, how are you setting up the year after? I don't even want Tatum playing at all this year.
Okay, so Wiggy, what happens if they get past the second round of the playoffs and Tatum says he's good to go? Like, what if Tatum has played very sparingly? He's like on a Kristaps Porzingis playoff plan where he's played like two games. Do you have him playing in the playoffs?
So you said if they get past the second round?
Yeah.
So then that means they're headed into the Eastern Conference Finals?
Mm-hmm. Do you play Tatum? Tatum says, I am good, guys.
Like, I'd have to see how he looked, Nat, when he's playing sparingly to see what he looks like, you know? Because I don't equate him to Kevin Durant, you know, but I look at the Kevin Durant model of Kevin Durant when he blew his Achilles out. I know Tatum is much younger when it happened. I think Durant might have been 31 at the time where Tatum's, what, 27? So I still expect Tatum to come back and be Tatum that we've seen before.
774 texter on the Subaru of New England text line, and I hear this frequently, says they can win the East without Jason Tatum, which is I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm not.
I think
that
it'll
one.
Be tough to get past Cleveland and New York, but right. yeah. I mean, even the Hawks have gotten a lot better.
Right.
But at the same time, the Pacers have gotten significantly worse.
Right, but you were probably gonna lose the series against New York with everybody. So now you really are going to have Jaylen Brown, Derek White, P. Pritch, and maybe Simon, and then however you patch the rest of the team together. So, and it looks like New York could potentially get Giannis, or they could get better. I don't really see how they can say that about this Celtics team.
Yeah. 978 texts are all over your insider status saying they should be higher than a six seed, and calling you out on being an insider. I mean, you're there all the time. That's what I consider to be an insider.
Look, if you want them to be higher than a six seed, I love that. Like, I would love the more optimistic perspective. I think I got 2 feet on the ground and I'm looking at it and saying, I don't know who the starting big is. Mm-hmm. And that's just a big question.
Right.
So we'll see. Maybe the roster, like I said, I don't think they're done. So what does the roster look like when you're in September, when you start heading into training camp? We'll see.
You want to come at Mego, you got to go through Shime.
There you go.
And then Wiggy. And then Jackson. And if necessary, I mean, I do wear glasses, but I would be the line of final defense.
Okay.
What's that person think? Like do they think that this team's going to be a fourth seed? Because I feel like they could fall anywhere between 4 and 7. Yeah. But does he think they're going to, do they think they're going to be a 1 or a 2 seed?
I think they do.
Like, come on. Stop it.
All right. We got to take a break.
Since I moved into this role, my entire focus has been making sure we maximize around those guys. And so that's longer than just this upcoming window. That's been this whole window.
That was Brad Stevens, Celtics president of basketball operations, speaking earlier today from the Auerbach Center about the current state of your Boston Celtics, a team with a hell of a pedigree who unfortunately faltered on their way to trying to go back-to-back just a little over a year removed from hanging their 18th banner high atop the rafters of the Garden and winning the World Championship of Basketball. Now a lot of uncertainty seems to be swirling around gangrene and whether or not the Celtics will be able to keep up in the Eastern Conference, let alone in an NBA that saw a team out west, Ted's Oklahoma City Thunder, take home their first NBA championship. You are listening to WEEI Afternoons with Nick Fitzy Stevens, Big Ted Johnson, and of course the ball game. Dan Ball here on 93.7 FM, WEEI, WEEI.com, and of course, the Odyssey app. Guys, what did we think of Brad Stevens' remarks this afternoon, or rather should I say earlier this afternoon, on the current state of affairs, and most importantly, trying to clear the air, Ted, that the focus has been and will continue to be around building the best basketball team possible, centered on the two tent poles of the franchise. They're all NBA max contract players, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
You know, I think he's kind of reemphasizing Jaylen Brown's not going anywhere, you know, and just when you think that maybe there's an opportunity for the Celtics to bring in a big haul, you know, it's not going to happen. So it's just a waste of time. Talking about it, they're going to build around those two guys. Now, he didn't mention I listened to most of the presser, and it was like he didn't mention Jaylen Brown's name for a guy that's basically now the face of the franchise.
Yeah,
it wasn't until the very end that he started to address Jaylen Brown, which I found a little bit interesting, but he did kind of reemphasize just the fact that those two are the staples, and everyone else is interchangeable around them. Some of the highlights, Fitzy, Daniel, is Al Horford, not likely back. That's not the biggest surprise, I'll be honest with you. But another thing that jumped out is that basically their priority is not getting under the luxury tax, that they're okay. Being over the luxury tax, but got to be under that second apron. So that was what came out. One other thing, Joe is experimenting in summer league. That leads to what I think is an interesting kind of thing. And this remark is, if you have this one, the one we just talked about, it kind of highlights what I think is happening in his postseason kind of wrap up presser. This presser he just had, saying that Joe's experimenting in summer league. Listen to what Brad Stevens had to say about the kind of the makeup of his team and the new players that they brought in.
There's no question that Jaylen will draw the most attention, and that Jaylen will, I think thrive in that. You know, I think that you saw him several times, and you saw him in certainly the few games in the playoffs where we had to play without JT, and I thought he did a good job, especially those two home games. And you know, I think that he's ready for any challenge. He always has been. And you know, I'm excited to see all these guys, you know, take a step up again. I'm excited to see the chip on their shoulder. You know, I think I think we've always had it. I think it's always been we've had a competitive group with a competitive mindset, but we've, you know, maybe had much higher expectations or some higher expectations. So I'm excited to see us get ready to go, and Jalen will be a big part of that.
That's perfect, Stiz. All right, that was really good. So basically, the first part, and not so much, but the second part was about chip on shoulders, excited to see. Like, not that we didn't have to, but he's basically saying he wants to see a fiery, more energetic kind of, you know, get a team that has this collective kind of dog mentality that you saw the two teams in the final have. This Celtic team really doesn't have that. Even when they won it last year, I think it was just they were just better than everybody else.
They overwhelmed everyone last year with their talent.
With their talent and their threes. And so I don't think that's going to be the formula moving forward. I just feel like he is shifting, Dan, from one ideology to something different.
Yeah, I think it's, and this is a unique opportunity this year with the Tatum injury to reshape your roster in a way where you can play more like that, where you do have, you've talked about getting younger a number of times during the course of this offseason. Your younger guys are your more athletic guys, are your guys that are going to go just that X amount harder when they're playing in order to kind of play with that style. So the way that the CBA is set up, you're really never going to be able to create a team like the Celtics had 2 years ago where you can just out-talent every problem that you have, where you can just out-three-ball every problem that you have, Fitzy. So you kind of do have to have those lower-paid, younger dogs in your mix coming off the bench that can spell some of your big stars, because you can't spend six or seven deep on superstars and established veterans. So it's a unique opportunity to reshape the way that they think about it, and I think a lot of it, like the moves you've seen this offseason, is financially based.
I like what Brad Stevens had to say, and I like it a lot. It also goes with, so this is sort of a, you know, free agency reset presser, if you will, whereas there was that end of season little chat that Brad Stevens put on a few weeks back where he talked, Ted, and I think you and I both really liked when he said that he did not like the fact that you could see the Celtics walking the ball up the court,
yes,
that their pace of play, that their energy was lagging.
Yep.
In the postseason, and they were kind of primed to be picked off, and whether there was going to be a Jason Tatum season ending, possibly next season altering injury or not, the Celtics were just not keeping up with the rapid pace of the Knicks and the rest of the NBA. And I like the fact that he's challenging his team, that he's looking for Joe Mazzulla, like the Mazzulla experimenting. Awesome. Go to the basketball lab, get weird. Try change things
weird
up. Don't just yeah. Get weird, man. I mean, you're already weird
he's
enough
already
doing
weird
freaking
check,
you know,
check
somersaults
that box
in
every
the locker
single
room
day.
All the time,
man. Somersaults in the locker room, judo in front of your basketball practice.
Did you guys see he has a Joker tattoo? He went on Edelman's podcast and showed off his Joker tattoo. It says, "Why so serious?"
Of course he does.
Of course he does. We got some
that's
great
audio.
That's
our sociopath, though, boys. That's our
that's
guy.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Listen, it just like with Belichick, it works when it's winning, and it doesn't. He stinks. But, you know, okay, get weird. Experiment. Figure, you know, try something different. You're going to have a very different team this year than you did last year and the year before, and probably from 2026 and beyond as well. So now's the time to do that. And I do like the fact that he's issuing a challenge to Jaylen Brown, because even though he's got an Eastern Conference Finals and an NBA Finals MVP, he's got all NBA and $300 million to his name. You'd think, well, the guy can just sort of like, let you know, rest, lay back on his laurels, whatever, and just play out the career and the contract and see what happens. Like, no. He knows Jaylen Brown is a man of intense pride, that he's a real gamer. And this is a massive opportunity for Jaylen Brown, not just to be Robin, if you will, since I'm a comics nerd, but be Nightwing, you know, evolve from just like the sidekick to Batman into your own superhero this season and lead the Celtics, a different team, a new look Celtics, a faster paced, more intense Celtics. Also, just real quick, Stiz, do you have that audio on Brad Stevens talking about Al Horford real quick?
I don't know what I can say about this or not say about it. I mean, we made offers to both Luke and Al. We would love to have had both of them back. I'd say that's unlikely. And, you know, the only reason I haven't talked about Al is because that's not final. I could probably talk about Al my whole press conference and not say enough. But, you know, I don't want to speak in absolute terms until an ultimate decision is made. But you know, another guy that if he were to go and play somewhere else, I think you know, is an all-time Celtic and, you know, winner and did everything he could for this organization, and you know, not only from the the games, but also how he impacted our younger players who, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, now have to take what they've learned from the Drews and the Owls and people like that and apply that from a leadership role.
That's excellent. It almost makes him sound like the Alex Bregman of the Boston Celtics as well. Ted, real quick, just rumors are it's Golden State retirement or the Celtics, though he says it's unlikely. He does confirm that they made an offer to Cornette. It wasn't good enough, that they have made an offer to Al, and he's mulling it. How important do you think it would be for the Celtics to bring back Big Al, given still the on-court steadiness and the off-court intangibles?
I don't think it's that big of a deal, I'll be honest with you. I just don't see him having that much of an impact on a team without Jason Tatum and there really being true championship aspirations. I just feel like it's – and I don't think Al wants to come back to that. I don't think there's really that much of a benefit to have him in there. Who is he mentoring? I don't know. I mean, he's at a point where I don't think, you know, what is Demas Akeda, does he need Al's mentorship? I just don't see him being as impactful on the current roster that is the Celtics. And it's interesting. You look at the bigs, right? I mean, that's what you have Demas Akeda as their starting center.
Yeah.
For this team.
With Luka Garza backing him up.
Don't forget about the Garza stretch.
That's scary, man. And when asked about was it Luka Garza, his you know best attributes, no surprise, didn't even mention defense, our offense and rebounding. And it's not like he was an offensive juggernaut, but that's his strength. So it's kind of a dire situation for the center situation. But still, having said that, I just don't think at this point with this roster where they are, Al Horford brings much to the table like he did in 2016 when he was first brought here and then when he was brought back here from Oklahoma a few years ago.
Well, I will say this. We got a Terp chirp as we go to break, guys. Justin Turpin sharing this information with me. Al Horford remains one of the few bigs capable of guarding any position in the postseason.
True.
He held guards to 34.7% shooting, forwards to 36%, and centers to 42.5%, starting 9 of Boston's 11 playoff games, registering the third most minutes behind Jaylen Brown and Derek White. So while I see what you're saying in terms of a learning capacity, Ted, if possible, maybe for one last go-around, there's somebody that can stabilize a team looking to regain their form and evolve with Jason Tatum out for likely the majority of, if not the whole season. 617-779-7937 to connect with your friends here at WEI Afternoons. We brought up Joe Mazzulla having appeared on Julian Edelman's Games with Names podcast. Would you like to hear a little bit about his mindset of how you go about trying to win multiple championships? Our judo performing psycho joker tattooed coach is with you next here on WEI Afternoons.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
When that horn went off, that's the only thing I thought about. How are we going to do this again? And you got to do it. You fight like hell to make sure you get another one.
Yeah.
What do we have to do? And not in an unhealthy way. I think you live in a space of like, I don't know how long I'm going to do this, but for however long, that has to be the focus. It's got to be the relationships with the people, and it's got to be like, how do we get back? And you just have to constantly think about that every day.
People don't understand when you're in the grind of trying to chase your dreams, and once you get your dreams, you recalibrate your dreams.
Yeah.
You don't have time to sit back and say, man, this is cool.
You don't.
Celtics coach Joe Mazzulla, the most recent guest on Julian Edelman's Games with Names podcast, explaining his mentality about not being complacent with a championship, rather thinking about immediately post-victory in the NBA Finals of 2024 against the Dallas Mavericks, how the Celtics could get back atop the championship mountain and get a hold of Banner 19. This is WEEI Afternoons. Dan Ball, Ted Johnson, Nick Fitzy Stevens here with you. 4 o'clock football, or football o'clock as I like to call it, coming up in a few minutes. But boys, that's usually a football podcast, but I love when Edelman gets people that aren't current or former NFL players or pals on there.
He basically goes through every Boston.
He knows the entire Boston Rolodex.
He knows his audience. Yeah, he knows who's going to be tuning in.
That's
what works for him. But, you know, a lot of times you get these guys that see eye to eye on that psycho grinder level, Ted, and they, you know, game recognizes game, real recognizes real. I bet Mazzulla and Edelman saw a lot of each other, minus the judo, when sitting down for that conversation. Ted, did that ever, as a highly successful professional athlete yourself, what was that feeling like the second you won it all? Was it, God, I want to win another one of these, or holy blank, this is the greatest moment of my life, let me just sit in this and savor it for a second?
Oh, no, you wanted more. trust me, you get a taste of that. Oh, it is so intoxicating. And I've always said this about football. And basketball, it's probably similar, but they play a lot more games. But it's like 90% thankless, hardworking. Nobody sees work with 10% reward. And you go, is it worth it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the 10% is so intoxicating, right? It's you only play once a week, and then you have 2 weeks, between the championship games and the Super Bowl. It's just you don't get many chances to prove yourself. And so when you get a chance and you play well and your team does well, it is very intoxicating. But, yes, especially in this town where it meant so much, I wanted more and more. That 0-1 team was we were treated like gods, and so you wanted to go to another level. And we all realized, I think, that we had the quarterback and we had the coach. So our window to win was then, and we took advantage of it in 03, 04, and 02. We just we didn't know what it took to defend our title. But we learned from that, and you saw what we did in 03, 04.
I blame Tara Reid for 2002.
Yeah, Tara, damn it. But if you're gonna go down in a blaze of glory, and she was kind of our unofficial mascot. She was a lot of fun.
the specific part of that clip I wanted to ask you about was how did that change after the first one versus after the second one? The approach, the mindset change at all for you guys?
Yes.
Or did it just grow? Like, now I need another one more.
You know what I think it did? It really set the bar high for mm-hmm. anyone coming in. And it was almost like we all expected this is who we were. We were just going to be a team. I mean, you look at the Chiefs and the guys that have been the core on those Chiefs teams. They see themselves differently than any other team because they're always there in the big game, always playing for championships. And so you carry yourself differently. And then people that come in, free agents, draft picks, come in and see this. It is a highly professional work environment. And it is all business, and because we know that we have a chance with the guys we have in that team to keep doing it, to repeat. You know, the 05 team made it far, but, the Colts got them there. You know, the 06, I can't remember, and then we saw what 07. You know, so, look, what those three championships did was pretty much build a foundation for what expectations were going to be for the next two decades.
Man. You know, to me, guys, it seems like, Ted, people that say like, oh man, I'd get there and I'd want to get right back up on the mountain and do everything I can as an intense ultimate competitor to stay there versus like, man, I'd sit back, it'd be jet skis and babes and champagne, and I would, you know, I'd make Brad Marchand look like an Amish person, like with my celebration.
Right.
Like, you don't know what it would be like until you get there.
It's a fair point, Fitzy, and so, but don't forget, we didn't make it in 02. So the Celtics won their one, you know, last year. And then we saw what happened to him this year. There's a little bit of a natural decline that happens. And so not making it this year should give them all the intensity and ammo and psychological kind of,
incentive
to get back there right away if you can. It's going to be tough with JT out this year, but the minute JT gets back, that should be their focus.
And maybe add a splash of Dame Lillard also on an Achilles base prove it mission. We'll see. I know. Those rumors is still swirling. But I think losing in 0-2 is what relit the fire underneath you guys.
Yep.
And then you came back with great vengeance and furious anger. Then, of course, you retired. They didn't win another championship for another decade.
Took 10 years, yeah.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Brad Stevens, speaking with the media now as we speak.
Yes.
Scheduled to discuss the Porzingis-Andrew Holiday trades. He had not talked with the media yet because the trades hadn't gone finalized. They were each finalized yesterday. The Celtics actually, it was originally reported, we're going to get 2 second-rounders for Drew Holiday.
Not so fast.
With Anthony Simons. Turns out that's not the case. But the deals are finalized, Keith, which I think means now the Celtics can move forward with their offseason. What do you think the next shoe is to drop now that they've kind of moved past that, finalized all their paperwork and everything with the league? Trades have officially been announced, not just reported, but officially been announced. Does this mean now they can spin off Simons? They can officially make an offer to Al Horford that, you know, they were kind of working their way through? Because I imagine that was a big domino, finalizing those trades before they could move forward with the next step. And now I wonder what that next step is.
Yeah, so as soon as they traded for Simons, you and I both liked it. We're like, that's a pretty good return for Drew Holiday, knowing that they were getting rid of Holiday and Porzingis. I guess Stevens even said straight up, the second apron is why we traded those guys. Not that it's a surprise.
Oh, that's one of the things he said
just
now.
Yeah, that's a quote that I'm seeing. I think Mego had that. Got so, it. Like, just straight up, that's why we did that. But we both like the return of Simons, but as soon as they traded for him, there was a lot of rumors that they were going to flip him in his $27 million or whatever expiring contract and, I don't know, maybe spend it on bigs or whatever else. Now, one of those bigs might have been Luke Kornet, who is now with the Spurs, so that is not going to happen. But then, you know, free agency, go ahead.
You want an update on Brad? He just said this in the last minute.
Yeah, yeah.
It's unlikely to see Al Horford return to the Celtics, he said.
Okay.
They made offers to both him and Kornet. Nothing is definite.
Okay.
But it's unlikely they'll get him. And by the way, good
probably
for
very low offers, and not that they're trying to insult him, but they're right. Like, we got to stay under the apron.
Good for Brad, by the way, to come out and just say, yeah, we made those trades because of the second apron. Like, don't hide and pretend it's this.
It's a good basketball
that.
Trade. Like, nobody's buying that. But I choose to look at the Simons one. I was like, all right, this could be somewhat beneficial basketball-wise.
Yeah.
But then when we heard about this after we got off the show yesterday about the deals going final and the Drew Holiday one and the Simons one, like, you know, not taking back the picks because of Holiday's physical or whatever else, I'm like, oh man, maybe they couldn't trade Simons, which is why they didn't officially have him yet. So maybe he still will be flipped, which I wouldn't like. Now, barring the return, I don't know what the return is. I mean, let's see what it is before we really react to it. But just in general, I would like him on the team still.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Durant. It's like, I'm not itching to trade Durant, but tell me the return. Yeah. If it's a stud pitcher, I'm in. If it's a stud big for Anfernee Simons, or stud might even be too strong. But, you know, if you have the Anfernee Simons equivalent, but now it's a big and the roster fits together a little better, then I could be talked into it. But I'm not itching to trade Anfernee Simons. I want the Celtics to work with him, see what he is, and at least get into the regular season with Simons. And who knows? Maybe you increase his trade value. You flip him at the trade deadline. Maybe you sign him long term. I don't know. But that's a player I'm with you, Keith. I want to work with. I am afraid now that the deals are finalized, and that is bad news on Horford.
Yeah.
That I was hoping that because he hadn't signed at this point with the Warriors or Lakers, they were really negotiating with him and the door was still ajar. If Stevens is coming out and saying it's unlikely it's going to happen, it's not going to happen.
If Horford ends up playing with LeBron, that's going to be tough.
Yeah?
That's going to be tough to stomach. Yeah. Because he's become kind of like a Celtic.
I've come to appreciate LeBron Horford John. The older he's gotten in his career. But Horford has this I know what Horford is. Horford's a sneaky, dirty player.
Oh,
and
he is.
And he's turned his back. He's never going to leave Atlanta.
Dirty player.
He left Atlanta for the Celtics. Yeah. Oh, he's not going to leave Boston. He left for Philly.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to leave again.
He'll never leave the Thunder.
Yeah, I just kind of know what Horford is. But I have grown to appreciate him more as a player over the years.
But, like, he's had some big moments. Obviously, he's part of the title team with the Celtics. And just seeing him help. I mean, it's not as bad as like Ray Allen going to play with LeBron, but it's still going to be like, oh, come on. Like,
yeah.
I'd rather him go to the Warriors than go to play with LeBron.
I agree with that. Yeah. It's easier to stomach him with the Warriors. Yeah. I think he'd be a good fit on either of those teams.
Yeah, he probably would be.
But okay, that's the latest from Brad Stevens there. I do think now the deals are finalized, Keith, it is more likely that we get the other shoe to drop on Anfernee Simons or Sam Hauser. Or Niang, like something is going to happen there.
Because I wonder if Brad's thought process and if these two are linked. Like, would you rather have the potential firepower and the score that Simons is, but you're starting Nemus Cato, Luca Garza, George Niang, like that, some combination there? Or do you say, all right, we got to dump Simons so we can upgrade that? And I just don't know what that upgrade is necessarily. Like, I would rather, like most teams in the league, kind of rely on small ball and try to win it that way, and then going for like another big.
Yeah.
We'll see. But right now they don't have two starting bigs, even like one true starting big. They don't have that.
It's true. I'm monitoring more Stevens news just to see if he's been asked about Lillard or anything like that. Maybe that's another shoe to drop. Bradley Beal is supposed to get bought out in Phoenix, though. It sounds like he might go to the Clippers. So I'm curious if he gets asked about any of those names, although I don't know that he can technically.
Oh, this is a tough quote.
Answer.
See this one?
Are you looking
from
at the
Terp?
One? Yes. Terp the one about Tatum?
Yeah.
Okay. Brad Stevens, the most important acquisition we're going to be able to make in the next couple of years is getting Tatum out of a boot.
It's the second time he's kind of referenced this. He did this around the draft where he was like, the biggest obstacle
like
we
that.
Have is he's like, we have an all-NBA player like in a boot.
That's,
he's referenced that a few times.
That sounds like a team
that can't make any moves.
Not just resetting under the second apron, but now they're thinking about 2027 and not this upcoming year.
That also, to me,
which was already our fear, but that quote leads me to be even more fearful of that.
Yeah, no, that I guess I appreciate the honesty, but doesn't that also feel like there's no way they're getting Damian Lillard? And not that I thought it was really realistic anyway, but if you're like the most important acquisition in the next couple of years, like Lillard, even though he's on the downside of his career, would be a pretty important acquisition.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Like it's not happening.
Okay.
It's more like George Niang types. So, I mean,
all right. Well,
Jaylen Brown better have like an MVP season.
That is not fun stuff coming out of Brad Stevens' press conference.
Nope.
We'll continue to monitor that. But again, if you missed this earlier, said Al Horford is unlikely to return, and the most important addition they can make, and I'm paraphrasing, is Tatum getting out of a boot. He also confirmed they made these trades, Porzingis and Holiday, which went final yesterday. They made the trades because of the second apron.
This is actually a best case scenario for Damian Lillard, I think, right? He didn't want to go to Milwaukee. He wanted to go to Miami. Now he gets to pick his team. And not only does he get to pick the team, money doesn't matter. He's getting his money from Milwaukee either way. He can take his time. He can go back to Portland, recover near his family from this torn Achilles, and then come back on his own timetable with any team that he wants. If he wants to contend, he can hop on with a contender. If he wants to pick a team with a certain role, he can do that. I have to imagine Damian Lillard, for the minimum, is going to attract attention from all over the league, no matter when he's healthy, no matter when he's ready.
Will it be a good day if Dame Lillard lands with the Boston Celtics? That is the question. That was CBS Sports talking about this idea that the Boston Globe, Gary Washburn, has said that there is mutual interest between the two sides. Dame Lillard has a torn Achilles, bought out by the Milwaukee Bucks, will likely not play in 2025-2026, although I guess you never know. As I alluded to before the break, we do see Jason Tatum posting videos in the pool, walking around, which seems like a good literal and figurative first step, Fitzy, toward
I guess that's
recovery.
I guess that's a good July step, Andy.
Sure.
But we're also, you know, kind of think. So there's that school of inquiry, you know, and excitement, like, oh, you know, if Tatum's rehab goes well, he can come back just sort of like Kobe did after 8 or 9 months, and he'll be available at the end of March or April for a playoff run. Like, he'll yep. still have to slow play it. He's not going to be able to come out and play 40 minutes a night like rookie Tatum or almost MVP Tatum last season as well. It's going to be drastically different. And what this tells me is I'm supposed to get excited about the 2026 and 2027 Celtics, because this almost sort of sounds like even the Boston Celtics themselves know, yeah, the 2025/26 Celtics probably are not going to crush it. We are in absolute transition mode right now. But if we have Stop a chance it. To acquire someone else like Lillard, yeah, let's do that.
Stop it. Boston Why? Celtics are a top 4 seed with Jaylen Brown leading the way. I don't care about
you
any power
are
rankings
a delusional
or anything.
Person.
And I am going to sell you on maybe the best case scenario if you are in the yay category for Dame Lillard. I know we're not necessarily on this show. We've sort of talked about it a little bit as these rumors and rumblings have unfolded. But the dream scenario for WEEI Afternoons and really all Boston sports media is Jaylen Brown is leading the Boston Celtics to a 2 seed, a 3 seed. Ugh. The Celtics signed Dame Lillard. He has been rehabbing all year long with Jason Tatum. Both Jason Tatum and Dame Lillard are like, you know, if you guys get to the conference finals, we're going to be ready. And I say we. And the Boston Celtics with Derek White and Peyton Pritchard and Jaylen Brown could be adding an 85 mm-hmm. or 90% Jason Tatum and Dame Lillard. So neither needs to be all in, doesn't feel any pressure. Hell, they can platoon it if they want. They're two
Hall of Famers. Oh, each of them plays
famers.
15 to 20 minutes a night, so you get one all-star out of two rehabbing
ding, 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 ding. Two Hall of Fame Achilles returnees kind of rehabbing and platooning into Jaylen Brown's Boston Celtics as they pursue the NBA title. Too much?
Mm. Too much. That's so funny. That's the WEEI Afternoon Dream. Mine had something to do with like skyrocketing to number one, getting multiple sponsorships and making enough money to party on a boat with Tom Brady, Kate Hudson, and Dakota Johnson. However, I will take Dame Lillard coming to the Celtics and being 90% of himself.
I can play your game.
That would be pretty
excellent.
I
can play your game. We skyrocket to number one, and someday Sydney Sweeney walks into the studio wearing nothing but Hey Dudes and goes, really? I'm overrated? I'm overrated? You don't like what you see in front of you? And I go, ma, 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 ma.
No, and then you try to go like, and then all of us laugh at you.
Yeah. Couple
no,
dreams.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Dreams here.
Hey, this, I'm not going to get down on. First of all, Andy, isn't it always curious now in this day and age, and take all of this, not just with a grain of salt, but like a 5-pound bag of Himalayan pink salt. Whenever there is like That's around the draft and free agency, there's always, you know, like the people's insider emerges and all of a sudden they're picking. You know, they're dropping nuggets all over Twitter, and you know, 4 out of 5 of them end up being true, and then we start following them and making a big deal, and some of them are also hoaxes. But there's been this one guy, at Scott J. Burgess, B-E-R-G-E-S, who has been all over socials, came out of nowhere in the past 2 weeks, and everything he has said has been Lillard based, and keeps tweeting out about lot to unpack. You know, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Brad Stevens, all in attendance with the Dame Lillard pitch meeting, blah, blah, blah.
Is this a real person? Because I don't know who you're talking about, so I'm going to just ask that
no,
question
that,
right
I just, top. I'm sharing. It's just funny how these things emerge, and you always want them to be right because, well, I mean, that would be awesome that there's some random ghost insider out there who's leaking all of this information out. I mean, I want it to be true. Do I want Dame Lillard on the Celtics if he can possibly contribute at the end of next season, and then he's got 1 to 2 full throttle seasons left in him to chase a championship with the Celtics? Hell yes. Who wouldn't?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you spent a minute of our show talking about like a parody account or something. That's the only one.
Nope.
Because I've never heard of that person. I have no idea who that person is with supposed inside information on Dame Lillard. But the Boston Celtics right now, I alluded to it, according to CBS Sports, way too early offseason NBA power rankings, one that includes your defending champion Thunder at number one, as they mm-hmm. probably should be, and your defending number one seed in the Eastern Conference, Cavaliers, in the 2 spot, even though it feels like they've lost a little bit of momentum or faith. There's something going on there with Donovan Mitchell and company. The Knicks in the 3 spot, despite the fact that they made some curious offseason maneuverings with their head coaching situation. Rockets 4, Nuggets 5, 6. Tell me when you want me to stop. No whammy, no whammy, no whammy. 13th for your Boston Celtics. Behind
that feels right.
Feels right to you.
It does. Overall? Okay. Out of 32 teams?
So you believe that the Pistons and the 682-year-old Warriors and those various teams, the Magic are 3 spots ahead of them, the Grizzlies well ahead of them. You think the number 13 is right?
I would say between 10 and 12. So 13 could be a whisker low. But, Andy, like there are just so many question marks. You lost Cornette. You don't have Horford back, although, as I just shared with you guys, Adam Himmelsbach said Al Horford is choosing right now between the Celtics, Nuggets, Warriors, or retirement. So they're reportedly not out of the race, but like
I'd go to
you lost your top score. You lost your top scorer. There's been attrition on the Celtics. There are a lot of question marks on this team. And last time they were supposedly healthy and together, they were losing to the Knicks. Like they were trending towards losing the second round series outright to a team the entire world thought they were much better than. So you can't help but say there are question marks surrounding the Celtics, which I think puts them in tier 2 next season.
Jaylen Brown going to shock the world. He's going to put all this right on those shoulders and just wear it as a chip. Everybody hates
him. Whatever happens when Jaylen Brown and Mason Miller meet, it's going to be like the scene in Heat when Pacino and De Niro met. There's just going to be so much star power in the Andy Hartiverse that you're going to explode.
If it's in Boston, because they're both members of Boston sports teams, that will be awesome. Talk about nuclear fusion.
Hey, fellas, you like Miller Lite?
Dan Ball, hand raised, what?
I feel like a lot of the negativity that comes with the 13th ranking doesn't even really have to do with Jaylen Brown. A lot of it for me is, what are you doing for your big man? Like, if Luka Garza and Nemus Keita are your plan there, then I'll reevaluate when we're done.
And Brad, we trust, is on a little shakier footing now.
I'm just saying that's why I think 13 for the time being is relatively accurate. I think that there are especially in the West. I think I could count 6 or 7 teams in the West alone that I'm saying, yeah, you definitely have the advantage just roster construction wise. Right.
I also I also like where your brain is at, just because it takes a little pressure off my guy JB and acknowledges that not only is he stepping into the one seat without Jason Tatum, he's doing so with a much different roster that's sort of been torn down around him a little bit and gives him
an
out.
There's your gives him an out, gives you an out when inevitably it doesn't go.
You're not allowed to.
It's going to.
I will be
Metropolis. If Metropolis crumbles because your Superman is incapable of saving it, you don't get to play the get out of jail free card. No. You have told us and the entirety of Boston and everyone that uses the Odyssey app that he is going to be the savior. My guy, JB, insert Andy Hart, chest thump and everything else. No. If he's that good, then in sitting in the one chair, I would think that Jaylen Brown can bring the Celtics to 50-plus wins.
50-plus sounds about right. Top 4 seed sounds about right. I like it all. And then him saying, Jason Tatum, come do what we did last time. Let's go win a title with you just riding my coattails coming off your injury, baby.
He's going to say, this one's for you, Andy Hart. Thanks for wearing my jersey all those times at the beach.
Had it on this weekend.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/home run. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.